right. So today is the 19th. Is that? It's 18th. Excuse me.
Tomorrow's the 19th.
Yeah, Friday, September 18th, 2009. And why don't you introduce yourself? And let's start with just where you were born and when.
All right, I'm Hallie Novak. I live at Lost Springs, Kansas. I was born at Shady Brook, Kansas, on a farm, July 19th, 1937.
All right, so and is that where you grew up? In that area?
Off and on.
Off and on? Okay, well, yeah, tell me where you all lived.
Right. We lived in the country within 2 miles of two Lutheran churches, and we went to, when I got old enough to go to school, we went to the parochial school at Emmanuel Lutheran. It's a Missouri Synod church. When I was about 7, my mother was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and that divided our family because she was ill and the, I don't know, delusions, you'd say, she couldn't live there. Mm-hmm. So I went to live with my grandparents for a good year and a half that lived in Harrington, and they were staunch German Lutherans. Lovely people, but my grandmother could never understand my mother's illness and never mm-hmm. forgave her. So there's a little bit of a your mother's daughter, your mother
yes, uh-huh.
type thing. And eventually, and I had a younger brother, and he contracted spinal meningitis, and this was in 1945. It was terribly hard on my father, because his wife was not there to care for him, and this little brother lived with me and my grandparents, and he died. And I will never forget when his funeral came, the day of his funeral, my mother wouldn't sit with my father because she thought there were two of him, and it was the wrong one that was there.
Oh, wow.
And how that affected him, and how he had gone through 6 weeks of illness before he died. And that was one experience I don't think I'll ever forget. The pastor at the time was a Pastor Krieger at St. Paul's in Harrington, which was American Lutheran. And he was very helpful to Dad. And I remember the help. I just remember he had a calming effect and, you know, try to understand this. After that, I went with my mother and my younger sister, who had stayed with my mother during this other separation time, went to Alamosa, Colorado, and to be with our other grandmother, and that was the other grandmother on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Alamosa, went through the rest of the grade school, junior high and high school, and then I came back to Kansas. When we were in Alamosa, it's rather interesting. My grandmother there saw to it that my sister and I started Sunday school, and Mom went with us to church. But I was confirmed there by a pastor, Wilbur Klottenhoff. And he is the son of George Klottenhoff, who was the pastor out at St. John's just by Harrington mm-hmm. for 45 years.
Wow.
And Pastor Wilbur just passed away too here recently.
Mm-hmm.
They sent me the program from the service. But that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
I did not go to college. When I got out of high school, I came back here, and I had two brothers in college at K-State. And Dad's plan was kind of to get one of them through, and then I'd start.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a job with Dr. Mosier, a dentist in Harrington. And before my one brother dropped out, and I could have gone ahead, but by that time I'd met Bob,
mm-hmm.
and I ended up getting married.
Okay.
So, two or three years later, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So you mentioned the first pair of grandparents that you, mm-hmm. you lived with. So what was that like, and how was that different, than what you were used to at the time?
Well, about the only thing that was really different was the fact Mom was gone and I missed her terribly.
Yeah.
Grandmother was very strict in some ways. She was a loving person, but she didn't show it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She was rather stern. when I first went there, I remember Mom had made me, because by that time Mom was in Wesley Hospital in Wichita. Mm-hmm. When she was released there, she stayed with her mother who was there in Wichita at the time. And Mom made me a little outfit to wear. And at that time, it was all like a culotte, but they didn't call them then.
Yeah.
And a little halter top that matched.
Okay.
I was not exposed. I'll never forget coming down the stairs with that after Mom had sent it, and I was thrilled to death because a lot of them were wearing them. And Grandmother just had a fit. You can't wear that. And she made me, I never wore it again because it was too revealing or, you know, whatever. And I had a great-grandmother that was down the alley that really blew her top when she saw me.
Wow.
'Cause that's the one time I wore it, was to take great-grandmother's supper to her. So that was a little hard, because Mom was never... I think Mom was the most gentle person I'll ever meet. And other than her illness, there were times when she knew she was ill and didn't know what to do. There were times when she didn't think she was ill at all. And so Grandfather and Grandmother observed everything to do with the church. I know... I'm going to get you Kleenex here.
Oh, sure.
You have allergies?
Not yet. I'm doing okay so far.
Today
but this summer was bad.
Oh, yes. Today it's my nose. Or right now it's my nose, and it'll probably set and my eyes will get burning. They just burn. When I came back and lived with them out of high school and I had a job, I finally had enough money to buy a few things that I wanted to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a nice clothing store in Harrington that carried Janssen, which was the brand then. And I remember I bought a black sweater skirt, red sweater skirt. They were just straight. And I came down the stairs one Sunday morning during Lent, and I had that red sweater and skirt on. And my grandmother told me, you have to go back up and change. We do not wear red during Lent. Or even bright colors. So I probably came back down with a black one on. But different things like that. I was going to parochial school at that time at St. Paul's in Harrington, and they lived clear across town. And I was a good runner. I was very fast, and it was springtime. And some of the kids had to stay later after school till their parents picked them up. So we'd go out and back and race and run and do whatever. And there was even a pit for long jumping and having a good time. Well, I finally thought, I better go home. I got home, and my grandmother met me at the door. It was 7:30. You know, I was in the third grade. You just played, and you never thought of time. She sent me upstairs. She said, without any supper. And that was it. I was to stay up there the rest of the evening. I don't know what time it was, because I don't think I even had a clock. But it was later.
Yeah.
It was dark by that time, and when I went to bed, and a little later the door opened and it was Grandfather's voice, and he said, here's something for you. And it was a peanut butter sandwich. And that's the offset to my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
As stern as she was, and there wasn't, the things she taught me weren't bad. They were just, you did the right thing, you know, you just don't.
Yeah.
And Grandfather was always a little, he'd take you.
Yeah.
Pat your back.
And, you always knew you could go to him.
But I didn't dream he'd do that. But I really, peanut butter's been a favorite for this.
That's great.
What about your parochial school?
Oh, when we went to parochial school out in the country at Emmanuel Lutheran, we had a... Well, I suppose maybe he was a student minister. He had not been ordained. He was our teacher. And it was 1 through 8 grades, and there were 8 of us at the time. And we had catechism every morning. You memorized. And I know the younger people don't like to, but there's something good in that.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear some of these fellows that come back from military service when they've been in action and remember things from the Bible that they learned as a child in confirmation class or Catholics and religion class, and it means so much to them. But you can't tell someone, a teenager or even a young person, that. He was not too strict. I remember his name was Herman Wenzel, W-E-N-Z-E-L, I think. And it must have been when crew cuts first started or something. His hair stood up about this high all over, and that's just, he combed it up.
Yeah.
Right before that, I wasn't in school yet, but there was a pastor there that was the teacher. His name was Reverend Beck, and he had two daughters. And the parsonage that's there now at Emmanuel is, of course, much newer. It was originally a big white frame house with a porch around it. But Reverend Beck, I was scared to death of him. Mr. Wenzel, I just remember him being pleasant, but he had his hands full with Harlan Slazner, and Virgil. They were both in that school, and they were kind of ornery, so he had his hands full. I do remember another thing. I always did well in catechism because I had two brothers I'd walk to school with, and it was a half a mile. And being little kids, we didn't get there too fast. We go over all that on the way, you know. Did you memorize your Bible verses? Did you do this? Did you? And they were pretty good. But Mr. Wenzel would finish up classes sometimes, and we'd have recess the rest of the day. And then it was back in the day when a lot of the boys in the school would be needed at the farm, and school would start at different times. It may start at 9:30 in the morning and go a little later, or else it would start earlier and get out sooner, just depending on who was doing what in the field. Then in town, there was the schoolhouse was right to the north of the St. Paul's Church, where the parish hall is now. It's all connected. And the minister there was this Reverend Krieger. I remember that when there was a funeral at the church, we marched as a school over to that and attended that. We always sat up in the balcony. And there would be questions asked when we got back if we remembered anything about it. I do remember the religion. I don't think Reverend Krieger, on we younger ones, did the religion class. I think the teacher did. And then he would meet with us, I think. I remember him being down there, but he was not down there all the time. And I think, in a way, that's been good for me, because there would be times when I'd question things. And if you just go back and look, it's there. It's, you know, it's there for you.
Mm-hmm.
The parochial school, I wish all of our children could have gone to one. This grandmother I lived with in Wichita died a Catholic. And even when we lived in Wichita, and that's been in the 60s, I think, when she passed away. Even when we lived in Wichita, she wanted to send me to Mount Carmel Academy, which at that time was a Catholic boarding school, because they would bring me upright, you know. And it didn't materialize, and I was scared to death it would. But she was such an understanding person, and very, very intelligent, and read a lot. As a young woman, before she was married, she went to an academy someplace and taught school. And I have one of those quilts that, what is it, what was the name of the quilt, Naomi, when they quilted a block, embroidered their name on it?
Friendship.
Friendship, okay. I have her friendship quilt from a mission society that she had taught when they lived in Englewood, Kansas. And it was in appreciation for all she had done for them. So I think she must have been kind of a leader in that church group.
Oh. Well, actually, before we get to that, I wanted to ask you about how... Now, I mean, you know, you said that obviously you were doing a lot of the stuff in school anyway as far as religion was concerned. Mm-hmm. But once it came to, you know, actually going to church, I mean, what was that like? Did you feel that there was much of a difference between that and just going to school? Because, or I guess, what was your experience just attending church?
Attending church. Well, we went to school out at Emmanuel Lutheran at Shady Brook, but my parents and his parents, my dad's parents, belonged to St. Paul's.
Okay.
So we went to church there.
Okay.
We did go to Sunday school on occasion, but there our roads were not like they are, they were worse than they are now. I guess now sometimes they aren't too good, but not very often.
Yeah.
Going to St. Paul's when I was a youngster, they still had German services twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
And Lent was totally different. It was very, very reserved. And I remember the Passion being read every year, you know, they'd read all that. Food changed during Lent. It wasn't just the Catholics that gave up things.
Yeah.
There was a lot more fish, cheese, and leave the meat out.
Yeah.
My grandparents and my dad, we always prayed before a meal. And at grandfather and grandmother's, there was a dismissal. We always called it like a dismissal when we finished. And church was, I won't say it was boring, but it was much longer, it seemed to me. But that was young then. You know how that is. You think it'll never quit. So maybe that was it.
Yeah.
But there wasn't the spontaneity. It was not rigid. It was just very constructed to do. Christmas was a real fun time. And I think it's only been in the later years maybe that our ministers have tried to make us more aware. No, I shouldn't say that, because that's not right. It's going to make us more aware that Easter should be the holiday, Christian holiday, that we you know, really go. But I think there's something that draws a child into the fact that a child, you're talking at Christmas about a child being born, and he's going to save us. Well, that's easy for a child to understand, that one of them is going to do the job.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the death 3 days and rising is scary. Because, you know, back in those days, even when my little brother died, his body was brought to my grandparents' home the day before. And he stayed there all night. And me, as I guess I was 6 and a half or 7, seeing that little body laying up there, it was, I knew he was okay, but it was scary. And my grandmother had some boarders, ladies, that would stay there. And one of them, his name was Daniel Haviland, but everybody called him Booney. One of them loved Booney. He was a beautiful little boy. And she was painting her fingernails one evening at the dining room table, and Booney asked her what she was doing. She says, "Here, I'll show you," and she did his thumb. And I will never forget, he laid there in that casket, and that thumb still had the polish on it.
Oh, wow.
And it just made such an impression on me. And so when you are a child and you attend funerals, and if they're old people, they didn't do as good a job of making them look lively, you know, whatever, as they do now. And you always had to go and look at them. And that's where I think there's so much difference now. I don't know, maybe I lost my train of thought. It was just different. The funerals, there was, I think maybe there was less weeping now, because I think we let our emotions right out here on our sleeves now. I've always said I'm more like Bud Peterson. I've gone someplace and we sing a favorite hymn of my dad's in church, and I'll cry. It's, I don't know.
So you weren't as encouraged to, you know, express emotion and things like
No,
that?
I think you've got to be strong. You've got to be strong.
Yeah. You know,
and that type of thing. And not fully understanding totally death. But it goes back to the thing of Easter. We celebrated Christmas. That's where I was. Talking circles here.
No, you're fine.
Christmas was a very happy time. We had a lady in in St. Paul's at that time. Beautiful contralto voice. And Oh Holy Night, just maybe it had been out for years and years and years. I don't ever recall it having been done before at any church I attended. And I'd heard that from others, that's a beautiful song. They did not have microphones, amplifiers, whatever. And the church was packed Christmas Eve. And there's a stairwell, or a stairway, a door. You open the door, you can go down the steps and go on down to the old basement. She stood down in that stairwell and sang that song, a cappella, but the stairwell helped to magnify her voice. I think it was probably the most beautiful I've ever heard that song, because her voice was just wonderful. Easter, we didn't hunt Easter eggs. We did put out baskets, and we got eggs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't get all the candy and stuff. But they did not have sunrise services then. And living where we lived, Dad had cows to milk and chores to do. I don't know that we would have been able to make a sunrise and then still get back into Harrington for 11 o'clock services.
Yeah.
So that, and another thing that I've always thought was kind of unique, maybe, when I was gone from Harrington, I would come back every summer for about 2 weeks, no, 2 months, I'm saying, 2 months, spend the summer on the farm with Dad and my brothers. And Grandmother and Grandfather were out and often to help feed those boys. They were growing, and Grandfather helped Dad. And I looked on St. Paul's and the farm more than Harrington, as home. Because my grandfather had 12 brothers and sisters. They all had fairly large families. And at one time, my father had 60 cousins. Well, some of those cousins were quite a bit younger than he was, and it put their children my age. We had kids to play with that we knew well, because they lived on the south part and here and there, and we lived up north. But they always had birthdays, and they'd celebrate them, and we were together with those kids. So when I'd come back to St. Paul's, it was like coming home.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew I was Norman's daughter, and Hallie Sue, how are you? It was a wonderful feeling. And you go back out to Colorado, and by that time, my grandmother had taken a job. She was a house mother for a fraternity in Boulder. And Mom was better, but she was not totally better. Go back out to Colorado. There wasn't any other family. She had an uncle there that she worked for. But other than that, there wasn't anything. So St. Paul's, in some ways, was home to me.
Mm-hmm.
Always knew the minister. They always knew us. And it was home.
Mm-hmm.
And they always had good ministers. I mean, as far as, you know, getting their points across. Kind ones, because when Mom became sick, Reverend Krieger stepped in and helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was just adamant that wasn't the Norman she married, and he counseled both of them. And at the time, nobody knew what schizophrenia was.
Mm-hmm.
And all in all, I think, and this grandmother in Colorado, she was never Lutheran, but she was the one that saw to it that we got started in the Lutheran church, because she knew that was the faith we had started with, and she didn't object to anything of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked well. But her outlook on life was totally different from my German grandparents, and much easier to get along with. However, she was strict too.
Mm-hmm. So how did your church or your church leaders handle your mother, or issues surrounding your mother, as far as like your interaction with them?
I don't know. I think because 90% of the time, Mom was just as normal as anyone else. She was eccentric in her dress at times. I have a niece now that my brother's daughter in Manhattan is schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always eccentric, very, you know, her hair. She'd take your hair and, you know, do something with it. They treated Mom very well.
Yeah.
They were very kind. I'm sure that Reverend Klotenhoff knew about Mom through his father, because even though we never attended their church, we had relatives that did and this and that. I'm sure he knew. And it was a close enough knit community up there. And they treated her very well.
Mm-hmm.
There was a period of time when Mom told me I wasn't her daughter, that there were two of me also. And I found it in my catechism. When we got to Colorado and I started catechism class, she bought me my catechism and had my address up here at the top, and this book belongs to, return to, or whatever. Down at the bottom it says, to be used by Holly Lee also. Well, I'm Hallie Sue. And I finally asked her, I said, Mom, who's Holly Lee? Well, she's the one that's here when you aren't. So many times we called it her off moments,
mm-hmm.
for lack of another way to distinguish it.
Yeah.
I think most of the time her off moments were kind of with family. And if she said something really weird to someone else, they just, you know.
Yeah.
She never had friends that she was close enough there that she would talk to in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember one time, I was never embarrassed by Mom, except for once. And it was a shower before my wedding, and Mom was there. And it was at an aunt's house, or great aunt, actually. It was my father's aunt's house. And Mom went into this story about one of the houses we lived in Alamosa. It had a beautiful yard. These people were just renting it to my grandmother. And Mom talked about the cobra that came out of the bathtub drain. And all she could do was get to the door to let it outside, and then it curled itself around the clothesline pole. There were several young people at that shower that most of them, all but one, I think were really friends. The one, I overheard her when I was in Duck Walls a few days later, telling someone on the other side of the aisle, and they couldn't mm-hmm. see me, oh, you should have heard what her mother said about the cobra. Oh, and she laughed and just went on and on. That made me angry. And the night it happened, Mom, I was embarrassed. However, everyone there knew about Mom and her problem. The young people didn't understand.
Yeah.
And I always thought, Donna, afterwards, we just weren't quite as close. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she wanted to be any closer to me then, from then on, or as I wanted to be to her.
Yeah.
It was not a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But the ministers and the religious part of it being accepted, they accepted Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And never had any problems.
Yeah. So how old were you when you started catechism?
Well, we had catechism every morning in school, and that's what we called
it.
Mm-hmm. Then, after we went to Alamosa, I did not restart it until I was, I believe, sixth grade.
Okay.
And then it was once a week, and we took two full years of once a week.
Okay, gotcha.
And we had questions in front of the congregation on Confirmation Day. There were 96 questions, and there were four of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't know what we were going to be asked. I have always been so thankful for my grandmother in Colorado that she had me go ahead. Another thing I will say I have been thankful for, Pastor Gary brought this up a few times, my Missouri Senate confirmation instruction. They do go into depth more. Something else that really concerns me, the Methodist kids can recite letter and verse much better than ours can, and have for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it may seem unimportant when you're younger, But as you age, you realize how important those things are to you. And if we don't do it when they're young, they live without it all that time. Mm-hmm. But I've always been thankful for that. I don't know, I think my both my brothers were confirmed at St. Paul's. And I think Reverend Reusner was their pastor then. I know a time or two my brother Norm has even said, well, you had to study that. And I said, well, yeah, we did, didn't you?
No.
And I've often wondered, you know, and when I was teaching Sunday school, and I had David and your dad in my class, and we'd always try and set aside a time at the end of the class. They were coming into being teenagers. It was sixth, seventh grade, I think. And you know those kids at that age, they, you know, everything's awful. I remember David one time telling me, because we said, I asked him, I said, have you got any problems at home you want to bring up? Because I said, here you can talk about it, and you can even get advice from your friends, that type of thing. David said, yeah, he says, I wonder why Tom always gets the new shoes. He said, all I ever gets the hand-me-downs. I will never. He was complaining about Tom. And we said, well, you know, Tom's older. I don't know how to, but I just remember David and his question.
Funny. That's great.
And then I'm sure you've heard about the time his mother met them at the school bus with an umbrella because it was raining. Embarrassed the socks off your dad. Oh, but she was concerned. She didn't want to get sick.
Oh, that's great. So, so once you started high school and, you know, we're getting around that age, how did, you know, religion or church change at all for you, or?
Oh, a little bit, a little bit. But I was good friends with two of the girls. One of them was in my class. Both of them were good girls. Oh, one thing about them, when we lived on this side of Alamosa and our church was over here, these two girls I'm speaking of's father was caretaker at the cemetery, which was way over here. They would come by and pick us up and take us to church, and that's how we became friends, and we stayed friends all through school. So no, the younger ones usually came. As they got more involved with activities at school, maybe there might not be quite the attendance. And Pastor Klottenhoff was still there, and he was a very, very concerned pastor. He looked after us. I don't know. It was, if you feel like, in some ways, the hand of God has been on you, I think it has on me, because I think of all the things that I could have been better. But boy, I had many openings. I could have been a lot worse too, because Mom was not really, at the time we went to Colorado, she was not really capable of doing a whole lot.
Yeah.
And but like I said, she was the most loving, caring person I think I've ever met. So I can't. That it didn't take that away from her.
Yeah.
The illness. It was there always.
So when did you move to Colorado?
We moved there in 46 or early 47.
And how long did you stay there?
I stayed there till 1955.
Okay.
When I graduated from high school.
And that's when you moved back to Kansas?
Yes.
Okay. So what did you do when you moved back to Kansas?
Well, my father loved to hunt. Dr. Mosher loved to hunt. And Dad would have Dr. Mosher, and there was Dr. Gilliland. I don't know, there were several others from town. Getting older, couldn't hunt, walk as well. Dad would take him on a trailer down. He'd watch where the covey of quail were. He'd take him out there and let him hunt. So Dad and Dr. Mosher were good friends. And Dad happened to see him one day, and they were visiting, and Dad said, well, my daughter graduated from high school, she's coming back, and Dr. Mosher said they needed a girl. So that's how I ended up working for them.
Which meant, yes.
And he had a son in practice with him. That meant I had taken driver's ed in school, but I had no car. And Dad had a car out in the country. that I didn't even have a driver's license. I moved back into town with my grandparents, and I'd walk back and forth to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back to grandfather and grandmother's. And it was kind of refreshing then, because as a young adult, they looked at me differently.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned marrying a Catholic, Bob, and my husband's family was Catholic up until his father married his mother.
Mm-hmm.
His mother's maiden name was Carlson. She came from Burdick. When my husband's grandparents, or grandfather, he was a widower, when they came from northern Kansas and settled over here about 2 miles south, the big Catholic church in Pilsen was being rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
And they were coming around to all the different people and asking for money to help construct this church. Being a widower, just moving down here, trying to get set up on a farm, he had three married daughters that stayed up in northern Kansas, but he had four boys here to look after. He was pinched a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and he did not donate. And I don't know what the relationship was, but I don't think he was very, he was faithful to his faith, but he wasn't faithful to that parish, if that makes sense. I don't think he went there often. And I know they attended church at St. Mary's up at St. Benedict's when they lived up there. Bob's father was an altar boy as a young boy. Then when he married Bob's mother, she was Lutheran, and he ended up joining the Lutheran church in the early 50s, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But when my father found out, I had had a couple of dates with Bob, and he liked Bob. He told me, he said, you know, and so many times when he wanted to tell me something serious, he'd say, honey girl. And this time he said, honey girl, I don't think you should see Bob anymore. And I said something to the effect, probably, you know, I thought you liked him. Well, I do, but he's Catholic. And I said, well, I don't know what I answered him. I don't know. But I knew that at Dr. Mosier's office, they were patients there. In fact, Bob's folks and Dr. Mosier's were really good friends. They visited back and forth. On their information sheet, their patient sheet, down at the bottom was religion.
Mm-hmm.
And they were asked that when they came in to be a patient.
Hmm.
I looked on their sheet and it said Lutheran. So the next time I saw Dad, I told him, I said, Dad, I'm not sure what I said. I'll probably go ahead and see Bob, but I know one thing. I said, he's not Catholic, he's Lutheran. Oh. Well, he's too old for you, because he is 10 years older. And it just mm-hmm. like, he didn't want me to see Bob or anybody
else. Any excuse, yes.
But that's how he came to be Lutheran, was the fact mm-hmm. his mother was.
Okay.
So.
Interesting. So, other than that, I mean, once you started dating him and once you, you know, you eventually got married, I mean, was there any other issues of like, oh, well, he used to be Catholic?
Oh, or, no.
Yeah?
No. Wasn't an issue. And in fact, Bob got to know my grandparents, and they were the ones that would have... In fact, I had a cousin that married a Catholic, and they really had a fit.
Mm.
But she told me one time, my family name is Susie. She said, Susie, I'm a better Catholic than I ever was a Lutheran. And now it switched around after they were married, and she passed away. She had been in the process of going back to her Lutheran faith.
Hmm.
And so her husband, being the nice man he is, who is Catholic, had her, the service was at the mortuary, but he had the Lutheran minister conduct a Lutheran service for her there.
Huh.
And it was very, very touching. It was very, very nice. And we've stayed very close to her husband. He is Catholic, but he's very Republican. And so many of his cohorts and friends and people up there, if he said, if I want to talk politics, I come down here. he was here just recently. So, no, there was no problem after we were married. Mm-hmm. We were married in St. Paul's.
Mm-hmm.
And our pastor then was Reverend Belk. We also, and our pastor at Hebron was Reverend Larson. And Reverend Larson helped with the service. Mm-hmm. I think he had a prayer was all, but that was, it was nice. Mm-hmm. Then we all went to a wedding dance.
Very nice. So what about, I guess, okay, well, why don't you just kind of explain, you know, your church and your religion now?
As I relate to this church or
the Lutheran just kind faith? Of the Lutheran, either one. If it's kind of one and the same, I mean, it's just however you.
Okay, well, in that kind of way, it all ties together, I guess. Mm-hmm. One thing, I don't know if you pay much attention to what's going on in our world right now, and especially our country. I know, and this sounds, I'm not going to get off the track here.
Oh, you're more than welcome to.
There are good Democrats and bad ones. There are good Republicans and bad ones. But right now, neither of those parties is having much effect on what's happening. And if we aren't careful, we're going to turn into a socialist country. That's what he wants to do with us. They've taken over the banks, the cars. They want to take over. They've cut out all federal loans for college students. It will be a private thing. Or just the opposite. They've cut off all private loans that's going to be federalized. You'll have to go through the government, which means in order to get the money, you're going to have to adhere to what the government says. So I pray a lot right now. I usually do anyway. But I'm very concerned about the grace through faith being saved. I think we need to cling to that harder and harder and harder. There are some things we cannot control that I think we just have to turn it to God and put it in His hands. I think the Lutheran part of me feels more strongly now than it ever has, because I don't want my children to not be able to go to church. Cindy lives in Wichita, she's Methodist. Robin and Joe have not kept faithfully to attending church. But it's coming. It's taking a while. I'm afraid that we won't have the opportunity to do so if he gets what he wants. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even saying it's him necessarily. I think there's a shadow government being formed. You're going to think I'm nuts.
No, don't worry about it.
Shadow government being formed, and they're trying to take our country from us. Faith is a big, big thing for me. Always has, always will be. I think that God can do miracles, has done miracles. I think He still does them, but they aren't as dramatic, mm-hmm. and they aren't in the Bible. You know, time marches on. I really think that as churchgoers, being in church every Sunday doesn't always mean that you take everything home with you. And I think we should all have a much greater effort to do that. And that's where Bill Peterson has been such a wonderful thing to happen. I even appreciated a lot of Pastor Gary's sermons. I'll tell you, he was so educated and knew so much, and he had a lot of background on Christianity that he would throw in there, you mm-hmm. know, things that we don't realize. Mm-hmm. In fact, he gave me a lot of books, and I have started in on some of them, and I think I could just get so involved with that stuff. Just mm-hmm. the history of Christianity in depth,
yeah,
kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But my faith, as far as now, like I say, is very important. We're going through kind of a transition at Hebron. We've had quite an uproar over this anniversary thing. Some of the gals in Welka wanted to fix the church up, and I agree, you want to have it nice for your anniversary. But it got to the point, I had the feeling at times they were trying to make a shrine out of that building. And there sat Shearer Memorial up in Abilene that was destroyed by the tornado, needing money. We had some money. Your mom was nice enough to let them use the rest of your grandfather's fund. But I think that isn't the church. The church is in here. And I think sometimes as Christians we're so reluctant to talk about our faith, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
We kind of think the ministers should do that. And yet, I think back to when Pastor Youngquist was here. Mark Youngquist, one of his children, and you probably heard him spoken of, maybe. He went on to college, became an IRS, or worked for the IRS. I shouldn't say became an IRS. Worked for the IRS, gave that up, went back into the ministry, and is now ordained and has his own parish. When he was in high school, if he'd come up, you know, and hit the girls on the back like that, sometimes he'd say a Bible verse with it,
mm-hmm.
and it turned them off. And I didn't not quite know what to say. I think sometimes he was a little bit too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've switched, and I think we need to have more of that.
Mm-hmm.
More now than ever. So yeah, my faith means a lot, a tremendous lot to me. Not so much the building at Hebron. The people are wonderful, and there are disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my best time to talk with God is when I finally go to bed, because I guess my ADD sets in or something, and I get distracted. And the time to pray is the minute prayers and the sentence prayers and all those. I can handle that real easy during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just saying, oh my God, you know. It's not that. But my best time to pray is at night when everything's quiet and still. And
mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I like to do. If my husband doesn't snore too loud.
So tell me about Hebron. How long have you been there? And I guess, you know, what have you thought about it over the years?
Oh, well, I've been there since I was married.
Mm-hmm.
After we were married, we came out here, and Bob's parents had always belonged there. Bob was confirmed there, went to Sunday school there, and so since 1955. I will tell you, Bob's brother Bill, Dolly. Dolly was a Moravian, and it's very similar to the Lutheran, a lot of their services and things. But she took instructions when she got married, and I went ahead and took them with her because I was coming from St. Paul's down here. That was Swedish American yet.
Mm-hmm.
We were American Lutheran. And I think I did it partly because she felt a little odd, you know, an adult taking it and all. And they lived right over here then. So I'd come down mm-hmm. and go to and have Pastor Reverend Larson. Dolly and I have never felt we are a total part of that community over there.
Yeah.
We never will. Bill feels he wasn't either. Part of it is they didn't grow up going to the same grade school, high school they didn't either. They were just there on Sundays and for Luther League.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And come to realize Bob's mother did do things over there, but I don't think she was as active in some of the women's groups. Then wasn't there a mission society, whatever else? I don't think she was active in some of those things all the time. And there just isn't the tie. Bob and Bill have a cousin, Charles Carlson and Arlene.
Mm-hmm.
They are first cousins. There's never been a warm feeling. Charles, yes, but Arlene, I don't know. She's easily put back or set back, or she gets set back or something. And so we haven't had the relationship there. I think the final straw was one time when Charles and Mike rented we had two quarters of pasture ground over at Wilsey. And they rented that, and Bob had Steve Jost come out, and they built a slick pan for them to load out of. And they complained about it. It wasn't in the right place, and they could have turned it this way and that way. And that just kind of sealed it. There just has never been the warm feeling. So there wasn't that much connection through them. So Hebron's been good, and it's a good church, and I appreciate most all the people there and most of the things they've done.
Mm-hmm.
But there's never been that warmth, and of course I'm torn because St. Paul's was always home.
Sure, yeah.
I think home almost physically and spiritually. I went to school there, and all those people that knew me and were relatives, and so. But Hebron has been through a lot, and I don't know, this latest little squabble I don't think will last, but I do not think Hebron will last much longer either.
Mm-hmm.
Because our young people, we need to find this lady a place to do social work out here, and then get her married, and they can have 12 kids, and they can all go to Hebron.
I'll think about that. I'll get back to you. So what kind of groups have you been involved in, or are you involved in currently that are, you know, related to the group, whether it's Bible study or social groups or something like that?
Well, I belong to WELCA, and I think I taught Sunday school. Well, all told, I think it was a total of 18 years, but there were a couple of breaks in there when I had a little one at home here. But I think it's about 18 years. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
The kids were good. As far as other groups, there aren't any. I served on church council a couple of times.
What was that like? Did you enjoy that?
It was different. Okay, I have the distinction of having been the first woman on Hebron's church council, not
wow.
because they elected me. Lee Remy was elected to the position, and he was there about 2 months, and I don't know what happened, if he had a health problem or what, but he had to give up that position, and I had the next highest votes.
Hmm. There you go.
And it was fine. Went through the end of Pastor Youngquist, who would sit there. His notepad would be this big, and he wrote like this, and it'd be full. He totally conducted the meetings.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he took charge. It wasn't the chairman of council or anything like that. It was interesting, and at first I think they questioned whether a woman should be there. I know a couple of them didn't think there should be a woman on there, but that was, they got over that.
They probably had to, didn't they?
Yeah. There really isn't any other organization. The Luther League always had sponsors. And, oh, I'll tell you one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Bob was still in large animal practice, and it was 24/7 here. And I was unable to do much at times because I couldn't be counted on to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I was an officer a couple of times in WELCA. I think I was secretary once and treasurer once. Never really wanted to because of that. Now that he's doing small animal, I think there are others that can do it better than I would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be more conscientious or whatever.
Sure, so. So how about, I know you talked about this a little bit, but, you know, what do you see as the future of the church? I was just wondering if you could kind of elaborate on that.
Of Hebron or Lutherans?
Both, either one.
I know a lot of people were disappointed with what the church did with the gay situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get into any feelings on that at all because I think God made us all. Hebron, I know it's going to be hard for some of them to give up that building. But here again, I don't feel the church is in that building. It's in
mm-hmm.
me. And I think that was probably one of the disappointments I had with the girls. It isn't that I begrudged them putting new, the steps needed to be carpeted terribly bad, and the painting, and all that. But I think they wanted to keep going. You can't make a shrine out of that building.
Mm-hmm.
I know how I'd feel if it was St. Paul's closing. I'd feel the same way that they do. And I hope I'd jack myself back around and say, hey, wait a minute here. You know, it's not that building.
Mm-hmm.
The Lutheran Church as a whole, I liked it when it was a little bit tighter on,
yeah,
on what it means to be a Lutheran. Because meaning being a Lutheran doesn't take away anything from your belief in Christ or God or anything else. It sets us apart in a way. That part I kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
I feel special that I'm Lutheran, not because it makes me more special than a Methodist, because they're special too. It's just we've come so wishy-washy,
mm-hmm,
on some things. And yet there are some things we're wishy-washy on that I like.
Yeah. Can you give any examples?
Oh, well, see, I'm kind of the type, Rachel, that feels like I liked it when we had announcement for communion.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people say, oh, my word. It was a chance. If you had a personal problem,
mm-hmm,
even with your wife or your spouse or a friend, that you just didn't feel comfortable with and you couldn't bring up, you could do that then,
mm-hmm,
receive that little bit of one-on-one counseling,
yeah,
and leave with a lighter heart and feeling like, you know. I did. I liked that. It was a, mm-hmm, chance to have someone that knows you, maybe not as well as a, mm-hmm, good friend, counsel with you.
Yeah.
I realize the fellows are busy. I know, because everybody wants them to come to their house. That was one thing, Pastor. I can't say his name now. Youngquist,
mm-hmm,
was terrific about. You missed church on Sunday. He was knocking 9:15 on Monday with a bulletin for you, and,
yeah,
come in and visit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. The tighter stricture, I think that the kids need both kinds of catechism. Pastor, they loved Pastor Gary,
mm-hmm,
and he made it very real to them and very light and all. And yet, if they paid close attention, there was a lot of meat in what he said.
Yeah.
I think they need to be more meatful.
That could be a word, right?
Yeah. I just think that when I was teaching Sunday school, Isla, used to be Shield, Bryant, would come, and their son Jim would come, and he would come into my class because he was that age. That boy knew, of course, I guess maybe he was exceptional, I don't know. He knew things front, backwards, in every way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like for our kids to be more that way. You having had pastor mother, pastor father,
mm-hmm,
I would assume that you know a lot about Lutheran doctrine, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some of our children don't get as much as they could.
Yeah. So you've mentioned a couple times, you know, the children and doing Sunday school and things like that. Could you maybe elaborate on how that is for your church now, or
We have
would
no
you like to pause or
no? Oh, I think okay. I think he's going to get it. He's a,
oh, okay. Because I mean, you've mentioned, you know, children are, you know, our children. I was just wondering, could you be more specific in what you
we
mean
don't
by
have
that?
Sunday school,
mm-hmm,
because there aren't any children.
Yeah,
and the ones, well, I should take that back. Would there be five, maybe, or six, and all different ages?
Mm-hmm.
No, they're all pretty much grown up. Jensen's the youngest one. They go to St. Paul's because that's
okay.
where they go for their catechism and instruction.
Gotcha.
So we don't have that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Jensen is probably second grade, maybe, or so. So there's no way to compare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess how long ago was it then that, you know, you were
long time ago.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Cindy graduated from high school in 1978, and I don't think I was teaching. Well, she and Brenda taught the nursery class all through high school. So I don't know. Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
And then it continued on until, what, like 2 years ago when they were very short.
Dolly?
Yes.
Before to pick up the phone?
Oh.
Dolly, or some kind of contact.
Oh, that little girl. You know, the only, you try to look for blessings and there aren't really a whole lot at this point. Oh, there are many, because she's still here. I'm just thankful that little child was born this way, because had she developed all this, you know, some way or another, all these complications and stuff afterward, it would be a, she's not known anything else but one surgery after another.
Mm, yeah.
Maybe she, no, it's spina bifida and, I don't know what all. Right now, they had to put a stent from kidneys to bladder.
Wow.
And she has to be catheterized.
Mm. How old is she?
Three, I think.
Oh,
three.
My gosh.
So tell the about a prayer line, how we do that.
Oh. Dolly may be starting them now, because I think it was Lois going to Colorado. Mm-hmm. She's the starter, Lois Peterson. Mm-hmm. She starts, and then she calls Dolly. Dolly calls your grandma. She calls me, although Laverna has called me a time or two lately. Kind of neat.
I'll tell you about that later.
Okay. And then I just pass it on. And mm-hmm. we divide the list in half, and the last one on the TAF calls this one, and they mm-hmm. know then.
It's just prayer line for different people that are sick.
So.
Yeah, okay. So is it just within the few of you then that?
In our own church.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
we've had people from the Methodist Church.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's kind of a community and a thing in a way, because they'll maybe start it in their church as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very nice. And especially for us, because that not fitting in bit, this keeps us, Bills and us, posted on who's.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we'd get a call and say, well, the funeral's at 2 on Friday. Well, who died? You know?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and you know, you don't have to talk about this if you don't want to, but you did mention politics a couple times, so I was just wondering how politics has affected religion or faith, or vice versa, or wondering if you were interested in talking about that.
Okay. When you see Senator so-and-so, who is a Lutheran, how do you feel?
Oh, I don't know. It's always interesting. It's like, oh, it's a Lutheran.
Okay, that's
yeah.
my feeling.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we're not vocal enough.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, then I think back to the way the girls felt about Mark, and every greeting came with a Bible verse or a prayer.
Yeah.
However, and I do remember a little bit of what I told the girl. I said, you have to remember that his acquaintance with you is mostly in conjunction with the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to, hi, you guy, how you doing today?
Sure.
God bless you type thing. You know? But I said, that's the way you know him, and that's the
yeah.
way he knows you. And just be, accept it and go on. I think that's what I said, basically. I kind of
yeah.
remembered them. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we're vocal enough, and I know that there's been a lot of talk about the extremist religious right. And I think politics has a tendency to either be mediocre, or else they go the other way and run over the cliff. And
sure.
So it has to be, what is it, the moderation in
yeah.
all things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I feel about even being Lutheran, because I feel like our first aim is to be Christian, have faith in our Lord. And, oh, that brings up an interesting thought. My sister is on her third marriage. Mm-hmm. And the last husband is a Catholic. He's a marvelous man. Marvelous man. And when they got married, George could no longer take communion in his church. Monsignor Tawney called one day and wanted to visit with us about my sister and the marriage and that. So he came over, and Monsignor was always good friends. He had two big collie dogs that he'd bring up every spring, and Bob would shear them, mm-hmm. you know, get their summer haircuts. And they'd do it outside on a table he'd bring, and Monsignor'd sit over there with his pipe. Lila, his housekeeper, would hold the dogs on the table, and her son, who was blind, Corky, would be over here and play polkas on his accordion out here. People went by. And if it was windy, the dog hair was flying, and Lila was picking it at her. Anyway, when Monsignor came to see us about George and Corky, it was nice. I enjoyed visiting with him. I told him then, and I feel so strongly about this, I won't give up being a Lutheran, but I will never give up being a Christian. And I think, in a way, we've got to be tolerant and yet persuasive, if that's possible. It's like two extremes. Because I just feel that as Christians, no matter if you're one of these fundamentalists, a Baptist, or whatever, we're all trying to head for the same place. We're taking a different route, mm-hmm. but we're going to end up there. So can't we be tolerant of each other while we're here mm-hmm. and promote each other? But I will cling to my Lutheranism.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that does.
All right. I just think, I remember Pastor John saying that a lot of these big congregations now, where they're building buildings, you know, that will seat 1,500 per service and all this kind of thing.
They have screens up on the wall.
Yes.
Projection, yeah.
He said it's a mile wide and an inch deep. And I think it's very appropriate. Mm-hmm. But if that brings someone to faith in Christ, it can't be all bad. Mm-hmm. And yet I know there's reasons not to go that direction. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, that's very interesting. Thanks for sharing that. Do you have anything else you'd like to
No, I've to talked your leg or, off.
No, that's great. That's great. I think that is about it as far as my questions. But, you know, if there's anything else you'd like to add.
No, I wish you well in your project.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks so much for talking with me.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome.